Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, good morning, good morning, good morning, family.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey, family. This is the Love Journey Incorporated. They call it the prayer line. I call it an experience. Yes, it's a love experience. Good morning, and welcome to this new day where all things are washed away. We're going to get started with a beautiful song. We want to pray our way in and do what we do every day, which is bring a good positive message about how to live and to live God every day, to live life in love every day, to live in our highest and most best self this morning. All right, fam, we're going to get started with, you know what, I'm going to be in this camp, because guess what, you've been on my mind, on my mind, all right, fam, yeah. I love you, fam.
Come running back to you and lay it all on the line, 'cause ain't nothing left to lose. Talking about the love of a lifetime. If we pride ourselves in love, we can believe our lies. Baby, love is on the run. Girl, don't you know that you can't hide? We can find our way, babe. I need you beside me. Hear me when I say, girl, you're on my mind. And I mean it, girl. I ain't too proud to be. When the feeling starts to burn, gotta get you out my head. Can we try to see the light of a brand new day, babe? Love will always win the fight. Come and rescue me tonight, girl. We can find our way, babe. Oh, I need your loving, girl. Baby, hear me when I say, girl. Hey, yeah. Every reality.
Good morning, family. Welcome to the Love Journey. They call it the prayer line. I call it an experience. This is Janine Ann Ingram, your daily lover, your transformational life coach, your author, vision board counselor. I tell you, I've been giving a lot of hats on this call since I've been here. But I tell you, I love it all. I love what I do. I love the opportunity to host this radio show and be a part of bringing powerful, motivating, elevating information to give us the opportunity to move our consciousness into that space of our higher self. That's what this love journey is about. It's assisting us in how to live from our higher self, recognizing that love is the powerful force from living in that space. And that's what we're all about. This show is about taking you through a journey to your inner self, to that greater version of who you are. Let's get ready and turn in to that greater version of ourselves. Let's take in some deep breaths here. You know, we breathe because sometimes we forget to breathe. Sometimes we get so caught up in the day-to-day and get overwhelmed that we get breathless. We forget to breathe. Family, I tell you, there's power in the breath. There's power in the breath. Family, sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to be still right now. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And family, as you begin to breathe, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through your nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight, breathe into the heart and release through the mouth. I want you to breathe, family. Be still and know that I am, that I am. Breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. And last time, family, breathe. Be still. And now, and release that I am God. As we center our mind and our thoughts, Divine Mother, Father, God, precious and Holy Spirit, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Infinite wisdom, Lord of the Lords, King of the King, our mighty, powerful, beneficent one, as I come before your presence and speak from the transcending power. Speak from the mighty God, I am present. I ask you to remove every human created thought. Come, Holy Spirit. Every human created ego. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will be so acceptable in thy sight. I ask you to give me a clean heart and renew the right spirit, that every word I speak will come from the greater version of myself, that it will come from my mighty I am presence. And as I speak to every cell and every muscle fiber, that it will get into alignment as we cleanse and renew our mind this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. And let our minds and hearts be renewed today, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let us walk in our authority. Come, Holy
Spirit and anoint this line with fresh anointing, Holy Spirit. Oh, we come and we ask for a fresh anointing, new revelation, new wineskins. Come, God, for a fresh revelation. Come, Holy Spirit. Let our thoughts be your thoughts and our mind to be our mind. Let us receive the goodness of you in this day, Holy Spirit. Let us be present with the one that is the one, Holy Spirit. Let us be anointed today, God. Let us be anointed with the anointing of your love and let it rain down upon us, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and renew the right mind in us today, God. I'm asking you to renew the right spirit in us today, God. I'm asking you to come and create a clean heart, Holy Spirit. Father, that every cell in our body, every muscle fiber be renewed this morning, be cleansed and refreshed and fall right into alignment into the higher presence of you, God. I'm asking you to anoint us today, God. I'm asking you to send your angels out on assignment for ease, that our path may be made with ease, elegance, and grace, that we will recognize that the blessings get there when we get there. Come, Holy Spirit, I ask you to anoint our feet today, God, that everywhere we tread, our feet shall be on holy ground, God. I'm asking you to anoint our thoughts, God, that you will possess our mind and our heart today, God. I'm asking you to anoint our hands, that everything we touch not only turn to gold but platinum gold. God, I'm asking you to thrust us into a place of blessing today, God. I'm asking for a special blessing, a special anointing, a special favor over us today, God, and special anointing over those who are experiencing anything that is not of you this morning, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to send special love unto our sister Rosa J. Hodge. I'm asking you to continue to bless and continue to move every cell in her body into an agreement of whole, perfect, and perfection and completeness. I'm asking you to continue to bless her thoughts, her mind, God, and every muscle fiber, God. I'm asking you to bless every organ. I'm asking you to bless every part of her body, God. I'm asking you to release from any cell memory that is causing her to remember something that is not true of who she truly is, God. I'm asking you to bless it right now, God. I'm asking you to come forth and bless every part of her right now, God. I'm calling forth a blessing upon her like no other, God. I'm calling forth blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And everyone who shall come in her presence shall see her in the way that you see her, only in the perfection of you, God. We give thanks for her truth. We give thanks for her complete wholeness. We give thanks for her blessed healing. God, we thank you that every part of her body is healed right now, God. We give every part of her mind healed right now, God. We give any ancestral stuff that is carrying on into this lifetime, we ask it to be removed and cleansed right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to send your blessings upon your daughter. Oh, come, God, and do your will upon her. We ask you to bless Miss Ethel this morning. Miss Ethel Jones, God, I'm asking you to bless her mind, bless her heart, bless her soul, God. I'm asking you to bless every part of her body, God, that every muscle fiber and every cell and every brain cell and all the oxygen and blood that moves through her body will move in the way that only you will have it, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to bring it all into alignment, God, that every cell in her body will get in agreement with her healing, God, that she will be recognized by everyone that see her in her truth of wholeness, perfection, and complete, God, that everything that's true about you is true about Miss Ethel and Miss Rosa. We give thanks for their presence, God. We give thanks for their gifts. We give thanks for the healing. We give thanks for the victory this morning, Holy Spirit. We give thanks for those who will come and continue to be there in their presence, but that they will see them only in the eyes of truth, God. They will only see the recognition of who you are in them as you all around them, God. And anybody who comes in their presence will feel your shock of love. We give thanks, Holy Spirit, for your blessings upon their lives. And God, we ask you for these blessings upon each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. We give blessings upon those who are under the sound of my voice. We ask that you bless their finances this morning, God. We ask you that you bless their thoughts this morning, Holy Spirit. We ask that you shift the vibrations, Holy Spirit, and raise it this morning, God. We give thanks because we know without a shadow of a doubt that it's working, God. We give thanks without a shadow of doubt that it is done in the name of the mighty, matchless, powerful name, Christ consciousness, that it is done, Holy Spirit. And in the nature of God, we know it's done. And so we get the victory this morning. As we know that we can bless a thing and it shall be done. You said in your word we can speak a thing and it shall be done. You said in your word that even before our call you will answer, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for answering to the call of our prayers this morning, Holy Spirit. I give thanks, Holy Spirit, for the obedience to the call of our life this morning. I give thanks that the goals of our souls are being unfolded, that not only will we live on purpose, we live out the dream, God, that you so eloquently placed in our heart. We live out the desires that you so eloquently placed in our heart. We give thanks that you said in your word it is the desires of your, it's the good pleasure of you to give us the desires of our heart. I give thanks, Holy Spirit, that the desires of our heart is done in the mighty, matchless name, nature, and consciousness of Christ. We say amen, 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 and it shall be done. Holy Spirit, it shall be done. As we bring a healing to the planet, we give thanks this morning. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to all the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the land, and the soil. Good morning to the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, the ethers. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning to our most beneficent angelic family. We give thanks that we've been given the mastery, and we can speak to our angels to ask them to go and to set them out on assignment this morning. So as we invite and invoke the presence of our angels this morning, we give thanks for their presence into this call as we invite them to go forth before us to make this day filled with ease, elegance, and grace, and to remove in us anything that will cause us to move, not to move with the powerful presence of who we are, God. I just give thanks for your angelic presence. Thank you, angels. Good morning, archangels. Good morning as we invite and invoke your presence, your protection, your love that surrounds us and your light. Good morning, archangels, as we send you on assignment as well to continue to send protection to the land, continue to send protection to our streets and to our hearts and to our homes. Good morning, archangels. Good morning, good morning. And thank you for your presence into this call. We say good morning to the ascended masters this morning. Good morning, ascended masters, as we invite and invoke your presence. Good morning, spirit guys, master guys. Good morning, as we invite and invoke your presence. And this morning we pay special homage to our ancestors, as we do every morning, taking time to honor those who have walked this journey before, who left a legacy and sacrificed for us this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning to Miss Anastasia McAdoo, who was the vehicle that was used to bring Janine and Ingram to the planet. I give thanks, Mom. Good morning, Miss Anastasia, Miss Annie Mack. And good morning to our known and unknown ancestors, to all those who sacrificed their life. We give thanks today. And as we stand here, as one, we come as 10,000 and many of ancestors that came before us. We give thanks. We stand here in honor of our descendants, sending love into those who will come behind us and asking that our life will be of such service that even our prayers and blessings of today will bless our descendants that will come behind us. Good morning, descendants, and good morning, good morning, good morning to my brothers and sisters. Peace, peace to the family. Love, love to the gods and goddesses and to the millionaires and the billionaires and the kings and queens on this line. Good morning, family. This is the love journey. They've been calling in the prayer line, but I've been calling in the experience. It's a love experience. And as we move this love experience, I want to remind you that it's all about returning to that true understanding of love. It's about recognizing how to live from our higher self, understanding that the powerful force behind living in that space is love, because love is the cure. My grandmother always said there's not a ill love can't heal, there's not a prescription love can't fill, there is not an answer question that love cannot answer. I tell you, love is the cure. This show is all about a journey to one's inner self. Because for every question you have, the answer is you. All right, family. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the love journey. Of all the places you could have been, you chose to be right here. All right, family, we're going to call in our love song. You know, this is the time when we really get to think about what it feels like to love the very essence of who we are. I know we haven't done the love soak in a while, so we're going to get back to that soon. But I just want to remind you that it's important to love you and continue to do your love spiritual grooming. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Sister Queen V.
Teach me how to love.
Good morning, V. I made it to you.
Something about
love. I gave you a little song, so I said maybe she needs a little song or something this morning. Good morning, V. We heard you at first. Okay, go. Hello? Good morning, V.
Good morning. Okay.
Good morning.
Oh, okay. I kept getting muted and unmuted. Peace and love to the family. Good morning. God morning to you, Lady Love. Namaste.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, my beautiful queen. Thank you so much for the beautiful prayer this morning and for the constant reminder to us that it's all about loving ourselves first, because we can't give from an empty vessel. We have to have that divine essence of love within us, and that it pours through out from us into our world, into our relationships. So thank you so much. Good morning, my beautiful Love Journey family, Law Talk family. Welcome to another day of life and life abundantly. So we're getting ready to sing this amazing song about love, loving ourselves, looking into our eyes, seeing the magnificent beauty that is God expressing through each and every one of us. Loving ourselves, giving ourselves a hug and a squeeze this morning to just say thank you, thank you, thank you for me, for myself, for my amazing, wonderful, beautiful self today. And then we're going to sing, I love myself so much so I can love you so much so you can love you so much so you can keep on loving me. And that's what makes the world go round. So let's do it, family, on the count of three. Open up the line, star six, Love Talk family. Let's join in. One, two, three. I love myself so much, so much, so I can love you so much, so much. And you can love you so much, so much, so you can keep loving me. I love myself so much, so much, so I can love you so much, so much, and you can love you so much, so much, so you can keep loving me. Come on, God. I love myself so much, so I can love you so much, and you can love you so much. Woo! So you can keep on loving me. Keep on loving, keep on loving me. Keep on loving you, keep on loving. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the love. Thank you for pouring through us, as us, and out into our world. Have a blessed day, family, and keep that love going. Keep it flowing. It's all about love. Back to you. My beautiful queen, Lady Love, namaste.
Yes, 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 yes. It is all about love. It's something about love. Yes, it is. Thank you, Queen V. How's mom? Okay, I'm sure mom's doing well.
All right.
Sorry, baby. I muted out quickly. Mommy is doing fantastic. I'm grateful to say that all of the appearance of what was happening with her face has pretty much been resolved. Still waiting for some test results to find out what caused the experience, but she's in great spirits. She's enjoying being pampered and spoiled. I'm getting ready to go up there now. I have an acupuncturist coming up to give her some acupuncture, so I'm going to meet her up there. So thank you so much for your prayers, family. Thank you so much for your prayers. And I just know all is well with my mama. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for asking, Janine. And we did call you yesterday. Peace.
Oh, y'all did? Okay.
Yeah, we left you a message.
Love you.
God bless you, too.
All right. Well, we thank God for the blessings of Miss Ethel, Miss Queen Ethel, doing very well, which is only way I saw her doing. So, yes, thank you, God, for the victory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love raining down on us this morning. All right, let me see. I don't think I see Mama Joy on, but, you know, sometimes you can miss looking through the numbers. But I don't think I see her on this morning. So we're going to keep this experience moving, family. And we're going to move it right into this is an interview, and it's interesting that King brought up about being intentional. And I wanted to bring this up because King kind of brought it up yesterday, and I said, wow, that's what Oprah's going to talk about with this interview with Brene Brown. And I thought it was really, really powerful because what is our intention behind doing what we do? So now when I get up and I do the show, I write down, what is my intention for the love journey today? What is my intention for the sunrise? So I was writing it out yesterday, and I put it down on paper. What is my intention? What is it that I want people to come away with when each show that we do with the Love Journey Vlog Talk teleconference side, what is the intention behind the sunrise service? I actually wrote it on paper yesterday, and it's really interesting when you start to become intentional, even though we think we're intentional, but when you write it down and say, okay, what do I want people to know in this show? What, and even in my coaching practice now, I have my files, and before I open up my files and my client, I go, what is the intention of today's coaching process? And then I just ask the spirit to work with me. It is so powerful, I tell you. All right, so we're going to listen to this interview between Brene and Oprah Winfrey. Family, enjoy.
So welcome to Living Brave. Thank you for doing this with me.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So these are conversations about courage with people who I believe are living brave lives, who are inspiring me to be braver, and you're one of those people, so thank
you. Really?
So we'll start with that.
All right.
We're going to start with a couple of words that are really important to me and really important in my work.
Okay.
Definition for me. Vulnerability is?
Being willing to express the truth, no matter what. The truth of who you are, the essence at your core, of what you're feeling in any given moment. It's being able to open up your soul and let it flow so that other people can see their soul in yours.
So this is the first question. I'm getting ready to start crying, so I don't know that this is good. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me an example from your life. Give me a specific thing that feels really vulnerable for you still, after all of your experience. What's still vulnerable for you? Not professionally or personally.
Weight. Discussing weight, not having conquered the whole weight struggle, figuring out what to eat next, what not to eat. The whole balancing what it means to be a strong, powerful woman in the world, juxtaposed, trying to control what you're eating. Yeah, that's still a vulnerable space for me.
So I think when people, you know, because we've done work together, people ask me a lot of questions about you, and they tell me the stories they've made up about you.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, and they're And I have stories too, but I've gotten to know you a little bit. And I know how dangerous stories are that we tell ourselves about ourselves and about other people, especially when we're in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I think people see you as someone who is fearless, who has no more fear, who has conquered it all. What do people not know about you in terms of struggles still to be brave? Are there still some struggles you have about being brave with your life?
I've worked on the disease to please a lot. And as you've heard me say, that in 1989, I had a really big breakthrough with that, reading Gary Zukav's book on intention.
Mm-hmm.
So I started literally living an intentional life where I don't make any decisions unless I think about what is my true, pure motivation for doing it. Because I do recognize the law of cause and effect that says the intention informs even the cause.
Mm-hmm.
So that before you have an action, there is a reason for you taking that action. And the reason for the action is what's going to actually show up in your life on the other end. That's what's going to come back to you, that intention. So that helped me a lot with the disease to please, because I was always giving, 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 giving. And then I was always so thrown when people would come back and ask for more. And I couldn't understand why they were asking for more. Well, people ask for more because your reason for giving it is so that they think that you're nice. That's your real intention. Well, they do think you're nice.
Ooh, this is hard to hear. Keep going.
They do think you're nice, and that is why they keep coming back. They come back because you're the nice one. You're going to say yes when even you mean no. So you're the person I'm going to call to go pick up my kids when I can't or don't want to, because you're going to say yes even if you don't want to do it. So that's why people keep coming back when your intention is not really clear. So that took a lot of fear away for me. But at least for me, a clarity of intention helped me live a more fearless life.
I love that. So what if your intention is, I want to lead a brave life and not disappoint anyone?
You cannot live a brave life without disappointing some people.
I know that in my heart, but it sounds really important when you say it.
Live a brave life without disappointing some people.
Okay.
But those people who get disappointed, it's really okay.
Yeah.
Because the people who really care for you, the people who are rooting for your rise, will not be disappointed. The only people who are disappointed are people who have their own agenda.
Yeah.
And their agenda is not aligned with your agenda. And that's how I make myself brave. I say, well, the people who really care about you, who want you, who are rooting for your rise, those people who are rooting for your rise, they're going to be okay when you say no.
So let me ask you this question that's related. Very tough in this world that can seem very unforgiving, critical, mean-spirited sometimes even. You shut yourself off from all the feedback. And it's dangerous because you need some of it and you need to stay open and connected. But you open yourself up to everything and it will kill you. It will make you less brave because some of it is just not helpful.
Right.
How do you, and it's a, I want a really specific answer, how do you stay open to meaningful feedback that can make you better as a leader at what you do, but also filter out the stuff that is just mean-spirited that will hurt you and take you down?
Well, first of all, I never read any comments
okay.
that are coming from negative people. If I start to read something and
just shut her down,
shut it down. I will not take that in.
So, how do you open to feedback that is helpful? Are there people you go to, or do you, what? How do you do that?
I have a kitchen cabinet,
okay.
and I've had a kitchen cabinet since the beginning of my career. Different people have been in that kitchen cabinet over the years. But there are a few people who are my resource who I know are going to tell me the truth. Stedman is going to tell me the truth, no matter what.
Hard or even hard truth?
Oh, please.
Okay.
The harder, the truther. The harder, the truther.
I got it.
Okay. Bob Green, my friend. Oh, my gosh. Brutal sometimes.
Okay.
Brutal to the point of the reason why Bob Green... is he's like my brother. But the reason why, you know, we remain friends over the years, he's the only person that's actually been so brutal with the truth. He's made me cry, but is not afraid to tell me just the brutal truth.
Okay.
I have Bob Green, I have Stedman, I have Gail, who are going to tell me the truth no matter what.
These are your truth tellers.
These are my truth tellers.
I got a cabinet for sure, and I value them so much because they will tell me what I don't want to hear but need to hear.
Yeah.
And they'll love me through it, but
and
they'll tell
me. And this is the other thing. Your cabinet can go through all of those comments, you know, because feedback is great, and you can get it immediate now. Your cabinet will go through, and they can share with you the things, even that are negative, but that are not mean-spirited.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the physics of vulnerability, if you're brave enough, often enough, you're going to fall. Not you're going to risk falling, but you're going to fall.
You're going to fall.
Right. What has been one of your toughest falls?
Oh, boy. I would say starting out with this network was a tough fall. I'd come off the glory and the victory of 25 years of the Oprah show and was trying to put together the pieces of building a network without the right pieces. I really was trusting other people's ideas about how to do it, and it wasn't until I had the good sense to bring in my own team of people whom I'd been working with for, you know, the past decade, that things start to actually fall into place for me. But that was a real bitter, talk about not reading comments. I had spent 25 years of, you know, sometimes you get negative publicity and certainly had the tabloids and all of that to deal with. But I had never dealt with the, what felt like vitriolic, look at you, you've fallen, you're not on top anymore, you're not as good as you think you are, all of that stuff that came in the media immediately after I ended the Oprah show and started the climb to build this network. That was a really, really tough time.
Shame?
I guess the word shame, yeah, would apply. Because part of it was I was thinking, wow, I can't pull it together. I can't figure out what's going to work. And so part of the shame and embarrassment was not knowing what I didn't know.
And coming from a place where...
I knew it
knew
like
it.
The back of my hand.
Yeah.
Like doing that show for 25 years.
Right.
Was as easy as breathing to me.
Right.
I literally could close my eyes, you could put me on the set, and I could stand there and talk to the audience. I just really, it just was as easy as breathing. So, yes, I had some serious come-to-Jesus talks with myself about it. And part of what I understood was happening, as I know how the world works, is the world is reflecting you back to you. So the negative speak, the sometimes vitriolic negative speak. I mean, people would have panels of discussions sitting up on shows talking about, you know, what had happened, what has happened to the Queen of
the
Talk.
Postmortem of the fall.
The postmortem of the fall. So I saw one thing in, and I can't even remember the headline now because I was so like, I've got to dismiss it, but it was like, Oprah doesn't own herself anymore, or Oprah doesn't, and shamed me. That headline devastated me, shamed me. So I said, I'm not going to look at anything else. I'm not going to, because I already know what I'm going through. I already know what it is. And it's happening because you also think all those things. Nobody's saying anything to you that you haven't felt.
Oh,
yourself.
My God, you bought into the narrative.
Yeah. And we're going to turn that narrative around. So I had David Zaslav actually said to me one day, this narrative changes today. We're changing this narrative. It's true. So yeah, that was a very difficult. That was a time that required a lot of courage and not just courage to keep going, but courage to like, okay, what does this really mean? What is this really trying to say to me?
you know, shame has two tapes, never good enough and who do you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting ready to do something brave in your life,
mm-hmm.
what is the shame gremlin message that you have to be the most cautious about? The one that you have to say, uh-uh, I'm turning this down.
I've lived with who do you think you are my whole life. And not from myself as much as what was reflected to me. Because who do you think you are? You're a little color girl, come from Mississippi. Who do you think you are? You're sitting up on national television. Who do you think you are that you can have? Who do you think you are that you can? So it's the who do you think you are.
And what is your response to that?
My response is I used to fear hearing the term, who do you think you are? Or you must be pretty full of yourself.
Big for your britches.
Too big for your britches. Now I work at being full. I want to be so full, I am overflowing. So when you see me coming, it ought to make you proud. To borrow a line from Maya Angelou's Phenomenal Woman. When you see me coming, it ought to make you proud. And what you see is a woman so full, I'm overflowing with enough to share with everybody else. I'm going to own the fullness without ego, without arrogance, but with an amazing sense of gratitude that I've been born at a time where I am female on the planet and I have the great pleasure and freedom to fill myself up.
Amen.
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 Amen to that.
We're going to take a really sharp right turn.
Mm-hmm.
If you could put anything on a T-shirt, what would it be?
It would be Love is the Cure.
Love is the Cure.
Love is the Cure.
You have a soundtrack for your life. Tell me one song that would absolutely have to be on that soundtrack.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Do you have a favorite version?
There is only in my mind one version, Wentley Phipps saying Amazing Grace on my front lawn in 2005 when I brought all the legends who had represented what it meant to be excellent in my childhood. So there was Maya Angelou and Coretta Scott King, and there was Dorothy Height, and there was Roberta Flack. There was Diana Ross, and there was Ruby Dee and Cicely Tyson, and Wentley Phipps sang Amazing Grace on my front lawn.
Favorite room in your house?
Well, first of all, I love my house.
I love your house, too.
I gotta say. Oh, my goodness. Favorite room in my house? Oh, God. I love this question. It makes me smile. Favorite room in my house is my bedroom office sitting room. That is where I spend the most time. First of all, there's light coming in, and usually I'm working from my desk, literally with my bare feet up on the desk.
Mm.
You know, that's my power position.
Yeah.
When I was filming The Color Purple, I had written, I still have the journal, in my journal that one day I really hope I have enough money to have a home with beautiful things in a beautiful surrounding that matches my beautiful spirit. I wrote that down in the summer of 1985.
And there is the power of intention.
And there is the power of intention. But having a home surrounded by beautiful things with, you know, that match my beautiful spirit.
What's the best thing about being your age?
Oh, gosh. The best thing about being my age is I have reached a point where I live in the space of awareness of the time that I might have remaining. You know you have more time that you have lived, unless there's going to be some big DNA discovery. Then you actually have to live. And so it makes the time that you have right now even more precious. And there's an awareness. And, you know, one of the great, great, great things about, for me, doing interviews all these years on The Oprah Show and on OWN was that I got to learn from other people's mistakes. So I paid really close attention to the stories.
That's powerful.
I paid really close attention. And I learned, you know, some people watch a lot of shows. I think probably Gail watched more shows than anybody because she would watch every day and exercise. But she saw every single day.
Yeah.
I was there every day. And I got to hear everything and everybody, all the theories and all the stories and all the layers and layers of dysfunction, along with people's victories and their triumphs.
Oh,
and,
yeah. The wisdom.
Wisdom. And I took it in. I was a student of it. I wasn't just a talk show host. I was a student. I became a student of life, other people's lives, and how to live well by listening to those stories. So I paid real attention, and am at a point in my life where I can literally rejoice in the knowing space that I hold. There's a sense of confidence that can only come, I think, when you know and are assured that you are living life well, and not from the point of view of having a lot of things, but living life from the center space. When you're living bravely, because you're living your truth.
I mean, I really believe that we make up stories about other people's fearlessness,
mm-hmm.
but there's not enough conversation about the falls and the hurt and the climb back up
mm-hmm.
and the shame. And your show is one of the places where people had those conversations.
Yeah, and it was during my show that I absolutely learned for sure for myself through other people's stories that there really isn't any such thing as failure. And I could see the thread of, you know, courage that was required every time you fell down.
I know.
And I could also see that failure was just there to inform you to move in a different direction. It's just there to say, hey, not this way. Over here, not over there, wrong place. And once I figured that out, it became easier to be brave.
You know what I love about you? One of many things, but what I really love about you is if I had to describe you to someone, I would say, above all else, you're both a teacher and a student.
Me too. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that is absolutely the truth.
You know, that, and which I think I really actually believe all good teachers are the best students, like all good writers are good readers usually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's weird almost how you straddle that tension. Like, you have so much to impart, but you are one of the most curious people I've ever met in my life.
Thank you.
So you are both a student and a teacher.
Yeah.
Thank you for being brave with your life.
Thank you.
Really.
Thank you.
You make me braver and you make the world a braver place.
Wow. That was helpful. And that was Brené Brown. And some really good nuggets I wanted us to take away about living on purpose, living in intention, and living a fearless life. Well, is it really fearless or is it just living with courage? Because you can't have courage without fear, right? So I love the idea of some of the things she said. If you have some points you want to bring out, *6 on teleconference and push the 1 on Blog Talk and let me know you want to put your voice in this conversation today. But I really want us to think about living an intentional life. What is the intention of the things that you do? What are you intentional about? So, you know, I'm becoming more intentional about the love journey. What do I want people to come away with each and every day that we come to the show? How do I want people to leave? I want people to leave with thoughts, provoking ideas of how to live from their higher self. I want people to come away from the love journey learning how to live what we call God and the Creator every day, not just in the temple and the church on Sunday, but how to live from our higher self each and every day and live with the courage to live our dreams, live with the courage to live on purpose, live with the courage to live our desires out. Let's talk.
open up the line, star 6, press 1 if anybody have any comments. All right, well, we're quiet this morning. Well, I just wanted to kind of put those things on your mind this morning. I want us to be intentional about what it is that we're doing. Because even, you know, when we go to work, what is our intentions in going to work today? How do we want to show up when we go to work? If we own our own businesses, how do we want to be intentional in our own businesses? You know, what is it that we want to really come away with, and how can we live from that place of purpose? And I know sometimes that can be hard, transitioning from a place of working to get money to living in a place of purpose and magnetizing and attracting our money. That's another thing. How do you get there? You know, so there was, you know, a lot of little nuggets that came out of that conversation for me. I wanted to share it because to live a brave life, sometimes we do get caught up in what other people think about us. Sometimes we do get caught up in all the negative conversation that's in our mind, that, you know, that conversation that reminds us of all the things we're not. Well, how do we shut that voice that's telling us of all the things that we're not? Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you're not pretty enough. Oh, you're not this enough. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's the thing that we have to do is shut, quiet that voice. And the more we live out our dreams, the more we live in courage, the quieter the voice gets. The more we take that risk, the quieter the voice gets. That's today, family.
Good morning, Janine.
Good morning, beautiful.
I wanted to make a comment. This is Chastity's mom, Linda.
Hey.
Wells from Cleveland. And I just wanted to say to those who are listening, and I know most of you have heard me talk about me being on the downside of my purpose, which had become a challenge because of voices around me. I've always lived intently. I've always thought about what I wanted to do, and I've always been able to just do that, whatever it was. Going into social services, I had an intent. I wanted to protect children at first. That was my heart. I wanted to be in the home to see what was going on inside those homes, what made those teenagers that I had previously worked with act the way they did. So always being intent and on purpose. But then on the downside, of, like I said, I'm almost retiring within the next 18 months, I became discouraged. And I thank God for your program because I had become bitter. I had become in a place of discontent because of the voices around me, knowing that I had lived a life of purpose all along. 28 years, come on, are you kidding? So I thank God for your program. I thank God that it's more people out there like myself that can encourage each other as we go through our purpose. And even, I don't call it the downside, because what I'm going to do is transition into something else, and I really know that. So just thank God for the love journey, and thank God for my daughter Chastity, who introduced me to the love journey, and it really did change how I show up in my last walk. So have a blessed day.
Thank you, Ms. Wells. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. All right. You tuned in to The Love Journey, and I want you to remember that this is not just a prologue. It's an experience. And I am Janine Ann Ingram. Yes, yes, yes. Family, any more questions, comments, or anything that you want to talk about in terms of a takeaway, press 1. And press star 6. If you're on teleconference, press 1 on the Blog Talk Radio side. Good morning, family. All right. Well, this is one thing that I want to leave you with today. It's how to live in courage. Let's talk about courage. Do I hear anybody?
Okay. Let's talk about courage. What does it mean to live in courage? What is courage? And how do you live in that courageous space? You know, many times we get caught up in the idea of letting the fear debilitate us. But we have to learn to move past our own mind and allow the courage to move us. Today, family, what is debilitating us? What's stopping us? What is that one thing that we really want to do that's causing us to live in that bondage? What is really courage? What does really having courage mean? Does courage mean have no fear? No, courage doesn't mean not having fear. But what courage says is I look fear in the eye, and guess what I do? I conquer it. You see, I think many of us got fear all wrong. You know, when I look at the fears that come up in my life sometimes, I think about how many times I birthed a great product because fear showed up because I got into my prayer mode and I got into my speaking mode because I wasn't going to let that fear stop me. You know, I know people call it false appearances, false evidence appearing real, but if it appears real to me, it's real, and it's real. But for us to live our purpose, for us to get unstuck, for us to live the life we know deep in our guts that we were meant to be living, we must conquer that fear. However, conquering fear doesn't mean getting rid of it. You see, we must learn to see fear in a new way. Did you know we can see fear in a couple of ways? We can see fear in a way that's our inner power letting us know that that's not the direction to go. And we have to distinguish between a fear that's saying, don't go down that street, or fear that says, they want to hold me back. Sometimes when we get closer to living our purpose, our minds begin to tell us stories. Our mind begin to want us to stay in that place of familiarity. But the good news is we can conquer fear. And the interesting part is fear will never go, really, really, ever, ever go away. It just gets less and less as we do it. Because I was listening to Les Brown, and he was saying sometimes when he get ready to get on stage, sometimes he still gets that small amount of fear. And he's a phenomenal speaker. And then he talked about the first time he went on the stage and how they had, when he was getting ready to go on the stage, he went in the bathroom, he was throwing up, and everything was going on with his body. And it went in from both sides. And guess what? They had to pull him out of the bathroom to get him on the stage because of his fear. I'm talking about Les Brown. So I'm saying to you today, let's think about how to release ourselves from the idea of that the debilitating in us. So there's an idea in the spiritual community that fear is the dark force, that we must avoid it like Darth Vader. But the truth is, if you look at the way our brains are wired in the limbic system, fear is an automatic nervous system response to uncertainty. And the strange dichotomy and joke, the divine joke here is that to live on purpose, you got to step out and to be big and to grow and to expand and to grow beyond what the currently five circumstances require, that on a daily basis, you have to face your fears. Oh, my God. So the way in which you can conquer your fears is to stop expecting yourself to not be afraid. Let me say that again. So the way in which you conquer your fears is to stop expecting not to be afraid. You're going to be afraid. And that's the reality. I can tell you that before I step on the stage, before I had to write a book, before a lot of people do anything, that brings us closer to the idea we must learn that fear may show up. Mastin Kemp says there's two types of fear. He said there's a fear, survival fear. Survival fears look like this. He said, I'm walking down the alleyway and there's a person with a weapon. And survival fear is necessary to run. Or if I'm in the military in a combat zone, it's necessary to be afraid to stay alive. So there are moments where when our survival is on the line, fear keeps us alive. The problem is our brain is binary and cannot tell the difference between survival fear and what we call irrational fear. Wow. Irrational fear is, if I live my purpose, then I'll die. If I speak up and become my authentic self, no one will approve of me. Let me say that again. If I speak up and become my authentic self, no one will approve of me. Or if I decide to finally lose the weight, no one will love me because I show my true self. Or whatever the irrational fear is. And what I spend most of my time doing is helping my clients distinguish between survival fear, which is necessary, and that irrational fear, which is just the brain doing what the brain does, which is trying to keep you alive. So the brain, the limbic system, is challenged by your spiritual growth. Because it's scary to grow spiritually. Scary to grow into the person that you've been meant to grow into. And this might not be true for everybody. Some people might not feel that. But it seems more than not. And this is what Mastin Kemp says. When you have a new spiritual insight, when you have new spiritual awareness, all of a sudden there's this new stuff you got to do. And maybe you got to break up with someone. Maybe you got to disagree with someone. Maybe you have to redefine your power with your family of origin. Or maybe it's time to start a business. Or maybe it's time to finally stop seeing your big bone and realize that you got to stop binging on Netflix and eating pizza at night. Whatever it is, whenever you certainly have to live on purpose, you have to grow. And sometimes that growth brings fear. He said, so let's look at the difference. He said, here's the tip. Make a list of all the things you're afraid of and make a whole list. It could be I'm scared of spiders, I'm scared to start a blog, I won't open my email, or whatever the fear is. It doesn't matter. Make an entire list and ask yourself, is this irrational fear or is this a survival fear? So if you're afraid of what you're not going to make your rent every month, well, that's necessary fear because we obviously have to make our rent every single month. And before you can live an abundant life on your own business, you got to figure out how to make money doing that. So, of course, there might be a job to keep until you start to live your own business. But make a list and start to understand what is irrational fear or is it survival fear. And here's what I want you to do. He said if it's survival fear, it's understood. No worries. All good. Make sure to really address those so that you can stay alive. And then on your irrational fear side, he said, I want you to go straight into them. He calls them BS. That's what I want you to do. Sorry for the language, he said. But he's really cussing. I'm just using the BS word for what he calls, you know, the word. But he said, go straight into them because the truth is not everyone is going to approve of you. Not everyone is going to be happy by your individuation. And not everyone is going to celebrate your new spiritual awareness. So don't let none of that stop you. Stop you. He said, don't let it stop you. The other thing is you might be thinking, oh, it's easy for you to say, Mastin. You had his blog, you wrote a book, you've been on Super Soul Sunday. But the thing is, the way in which those things happen were by following the advice I'm giving you right now. You see, Master, someone who's further ahead of you, who has faced those fears, has gone through it, and it was just as difficult for me when I was couch surfing. It was just as difficult for me when I was in corporate America and wanted to switch as it is for you to switch. And so I'm here with this beacon on the other side saying, come on over. It's okay. Lean on faith. Lean on your creator. Lean on the divine, because there's a way for you. And the way that you conquer fear is to anticipate it and then to tell the difference between what is survival and irrational. And here's what you find. 99% of what you're afraid of is irrational fear. He says, so my deep wish for you is that you continue to move past what is causing you the debilitation fear. He said, write down what specifically are your irrational fears. And he said, and this is the important thing right here. What is your plan of action to grow into those irrational fears and eradicate them? And to anticipate that every time you grow, there's going to be some more irrational fears. See, the quality of your success and the quality of your ability to live your purpose is directly related with your ability to conquer and understand your irrational fears, because most of your fears are irrational. Let me say that again. This is Maston Kemp's quote. The quality of your success, the quality of your ability to live your purpose is directly related with your ability to conquer and understand your irrational fears, because most of your fears will be irrational. So today, family, if we expected to live our dreams, then we must live our dreams on purpose and be intentional. All right, family. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, that's it, family. I love you. I see we...
being recorded.
Family, I just realized that everything had dropped. I'm sorry. I'm so apologetic. I did not know the call had dropped. I kept hearing all these ding, ding, dings, but I didn't realize people were telling me that the phone had dropped. So I know you didn't hear everything that I said, but it was about just conquering the fear and realizing that in order to live our dreams, I'm going to leave you with this last quote that Maston Kemp said. He said, the quality of your success, the quality of your ability to live your purpose is directly related with your ability to conquer and understand your irrational fears, because most of your fears are going to be irrational. So in order to live our dreams today, don't think that you won't be afraid, but believe that you can conquer them by doing what it is you said you're going to do. Be intentional, family, and that's what the message was really all about, conquering and living the courage, because it doesn't mean that we won't have the fear. It just means that we can conquer it. We can do it. All right, family, I love you. I love you. If anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns before we go, I apologize. I'm not going to go back over all that. I know we're going to get off the line. We're at the top of the hour.
Good morning, my dear Janine. How are you?
Good morning, Rosa. Good morning, Rosa.
You know, the best thing that I thought, or one of the things that I got from, and it's so true, after 25 years of doing the Oprah show and starting something new, all the fears of who you thought you were, all the you know, the awards, the success, all the great things that you've done, when you start something new, it's like entering grade school again. I don't care what it is. I taught for 25 years. I can walk into a classroom and teach a lesson with my eyes closed. I can use what's around me and do exactly what I need to do to express and share what those students need in that that space because I did it for 25 years. You can put me in front of kindergarten. You can put me in front of high school students. I can still do it and do it well. But then when you start something new, it's all about beginning at the very kindergarten where you're learning the process and fears come in and you tweak it and you tweak it and then one day you look up and it's a success. But I also liked the fact that the woman said that the interviewer said that Oprah was a good student. In order to be a great teacher, you have to be a great student. You have to be. And you say it all the time, and this is the truth. If you want to become better at something, preach it. Meditation. I wanted to become better at meditating. So I had to do my research. I had to check stuff. And it works. It works. And you also said today, which was something that we have to always remember, the way to get over fear is to just do it. Just do it. Don't worry about the outcome. You may set my intention as this is what my intentions are for this particular session or blank, 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 and then let it happen. Allow it to happen. There is no right or wrong. There is no success or failure. You can't fail. There's an old saying that says, the one thing that, and I'm paraphrasing this because I used to say it all the time to my students, is nothing beats a failure but a try. Nothing. So if you have those fears, just try it. And watch it just shine. Yeah. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you. I love you too. Which brings me to another point that she said that I thought was powerful too. She said failure is not what she used to think of as failure. She thinks now she looks at failure as the universe just saying, oh, that's not the right direction. Go this way. Oh, no, not go. You going left, but I want you to go right. And I love it, love it, love it. But even bigger than that, I think sometimes failure just comes to teach us how to do something better sometimes. Not that you're going wrong, because you had to go this way in order to learn how to do it better. So I'm just learning to not be afraid of failure, not be afraid of what people have to say, not be afraid of the criticism, and to learn to quiet the voice in my own mind. And that's what I love about the message today, the courage.
You know, I also like the fact that she said that she had people in, she had a cabinet of people who told her the truth no matter what. We need that.
Mm-hmm.
We need those people who are not afraid to get on the phone and say, you know what, da-da-da-da-da-da, I say this in love. You know, we need a cabinet crew with us because no one can see us like someone else. And our friends, our true friends, will see the truth and not be afraid to tell you. You know, mm-hmm. Be that check person, that person that, you know, says, oh, you know, what's that intention? Did you intend that? Did you really mean that to happen like that? You know, and I also like what you said about the failure, because there is no such thing as failure. Failure just tells you how to do it better the next time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to be back. I love you. And ain't nothing you can do about that. That's everybody on the line. There's nothing you can do about my love. So, yes, I will be listening. I am complete.
All right.
Good morning, Love Journey. Good morning, Rosa J. Welcome back. We love you, too. This is Chastity all the way in Atlanta, Georgia. We love hearing you, too. I'm so glad to hear you and your voice this morning, Denise. I am grateful, grateful, grateful for this message. My beloved mother, I love you to eternity and beyond. I just really wanted to share this morning. Your message was truly on point in regards to that, and realizing that courage is truly not in the absence of fear that we still act. Fear is still there, but we must leap, even in spite of our own inner dialogue, whatever that may be. I know a lot of times people say to me, even my own brother and my family have said to me, you know, one of the things I love about you is, you know, you're fearless and you this and, you know, you're just so brave. All I could do is laugh. I'm like, that's what it looked like on the outside. That's what it looked like to y'all. Well, okay, that's cool, but every single fear that everybody else has is still very real in my world. It's still very real. I feel it. I question my decisions. I question, why am I following God down this path? I question it all. I do. But it's the faith that I have that I still act in spite of. And that's where the whole story starts to come together. So I encourage every person on the line, whatever God's leading you to do, just continue to do it. Because the bottom line is that feeling, it ain't going to go away until you act anyway. And then even after you act, you know, you still got this crazy inner critic of yourself that's like, well, you could have did it this way or whatever. Or if you fail, and like you said, Janine, I've learned at this point, my journey, that I don't look at any of it as like I fail. I have to look at it now as that's a way that doesn't work. I recently just had something that happened, and it brought me to tears. I'm like, oh, my God, I had to call somebody else because I didn't know who else to even talk to about it in business. I'm like, oh, my God, I was just so upset with myself. Like, how the heck did I make this decision? And he said, you know, Chastity, after 30 years of doing it, honey, there's nobody that'll write a book on it. This is just one of the things that you just learn that makes you a better business person and it makes you a better leader for other people. So he was like, don't beat up on yourself. But I thank God for having a circle of people, even for him. And he's not my immediate circle, but someone that I can call and just give me the right words to, like, not beat up on yourself, because we are our own biggest critic. So many times you have to have a discerning ear when to say something to a person and when just to uplift a person. Like, yo, don't focus on what you consider a failure. That's your learning, and it's a proven. The fact that you're going through it is proof that you're going to another level. So embrace the lesson and move forward in spite of your fear that you're not good enough. So I love this. It resonated with me on so many levels. And I just want to encourage anyone else to just continue on, because we need one another. We need the right support, people that remind us of the call that's on our lives, the love that we receive from one another. The last thing I need is somebody pointing out my imperfections, because I've been dealing with this woman for over 30-something years, so I know them already. I don't need you in my circle for that. I need you to look back at me and say, baby, them freckles look like X, Y, Z. They remind me of the stars in the sky, and because of God put them stars in the sky, he then will also direct your path. So that's the type of circle I need, people that speak life only into me. So I love you all, and I thank you for this community and this place for us all to be able to share and start our day in a positive vibe. Love you, Janine, my beautiful love goddess.
I love you too, Chess. I'm going to leave you with the words that I heard Quincy Jones saying. I love him, and I've never said to anybody, and I always said, I'm going to say this to somebody, and it just occurred to me. He said, your future is so bright that it burned my eyes, baby.
Yeah, I love it.
He said that to Oprah. When Oprah was, she did the Color Purple. That was way before she was who she was today. He was telling her that her future was so bright that it burnt his eyes, baby.
Yes, now that's what you need to hear. Praise God.
Now that's what we say to you, Chastity. Your future is so bright that it burns my eyes with joy.
I love y'all. It rocks. Thank you.
that was good. That was some good stuff you said, Tracy. Well, thank you so much. And Rosa J and Miss Wells, she came in and shared her soul. And I just appreciate you all so much. You all just don't know how you all make my heart sing. Just make my heart sing. It's just beautiful to know that we're all like-minded individuals living our purpose and living out the dreams and the souls of our goals that were planted, and that we're the only ones who can live the dreams and the goals of our own souls. And no matter how everybody else may have similar talents and gifts, nobody can do it the way we can do it. Nobody can do it like Chastity. Nobody can do it like Rosa. Nobody can do it like Miss Wales. Nobody can do it the way you've been called to the planet to do it. So remember today, you are very important to the fabric of life. And what you do with your life not only is a gift back to God, but it's a gift back to the universe and how people show up. And when we show up, we give other people permission just by being in our very own presence. Just by them being in our presence, it gives them permission to do what you've been called to do, which is to live out your dream. Today, family, work past those fears. And like Chastity said, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's in the presence of fear. Don't just dream those dreams. Live those dreams today. Have fun doing it, though. Sometimes we get too serious. Have fun doing it. I remind you today that you don't just dream those God-sized dreams, because we can talk a good talk, but actually live on family. Have fun. Have a great day. I see you in the morning. This is Jerelle Scott, dreaming.